everyone just, like, she loves just, like, dies. Like,
yeah, and so it's, like, everyone has their issues, but it's, like, I feel like the originals and the stuff that they've had to endure, and, like, Catherine as well, even though she's not an original, she is, like, the original in terms of Stefan and Damon's relationship, because she's the one
carrying them.
Yeah. But it's, like, they've all been through so much, and it's, like, I love them together.
They're such great.
Go
it
watch
really is a good show. Please watch it.
It is such
you won't
a good
be disappointed.
Show. No, you won't. And it is a little, like, the fact that I enjoy Vampire Diaries shocks me, because it is not my genre of shows at
it's
all.
Not.
I hate violence and just scary things, and it is a very intense show. But it is
me.
So
I love good. It.
Well, but you're also a little bit more out there with your genres, where I stick with, like, two genres and just kind of vibe over there, just like, all right. So the fact that I'm obsessed with Vampire Diaries shows you that, you know, if you try something new, you're probably gonna like it.
Yeah, and the fact that they must have did really good on that show, to the fact that you would like it.
Exactly.
So they did and the good. Character,
like, and for me, it's like, I get attachment issues really quickly, and I get attached to everyone. And so the characters that they created on this show are just incredible. And
yeah,
I
love them. I'm definitely going to rewatch it.
Oh, definitely. I'm debating if I want to watch
the originals, right?
The originals or the legacies, and the legacies. I don't know if I want to watch the legacies. I might watch the originals because I love New Orleans, and
Klaus is in it. Hello.
Hello. My bad. I apologize.
I'm actually watching it right now.
Oh, you are?
I'm
how
like
is
episode
it?
Three. It's not bad, but a lot of people are saying, like, the first few episodes are boring, and, like, they kind of are a little, so you have to, like, wait to get more into it, and then, like, the good stuff happens. But that's,
so
like, what
I heard. First season of The Office.
Yeah. Similar to The Office.
Yeah.
And now that we're talking about The Office, I love The Office so much. Like, oh my God, the excitement in my voice.
I'm gonna get shot for this, and I like The Office. I think it's a great show. I've watched it a few times, but there's a few shows that are, like, in the same, I guess, like, genre, I guess you can say, where you have, like, The Office, Parks and Rec, Community, and I also want to add Schitt's Creek into the mix. That's a show that I'm actually watching right now with my parents. It is so funny, you guys. But
I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list.
It's so good. Like, we've cackled, like, every episode. It is so good. And I think it was one of my pop culture plugs in one of my episodes. But I'm going to get shot for this. I think Parks and Rec is better than The Office, but I also think Community is better than Parks and Rec. And it's not saying that they're bad shows, but just out of entertainment value for me, like, The Office is good. But there's just the humor level of Parks and Rec is just top notch. I love the characters in Parks and Rec. And then you have Community, which I just finished a little while ago. Finished it in, like, 2.5 weeks. Like, I zoomed through it. But that show is so random. I'm pretty sure the writers were on some sort of crack or heroin or acid or shrooms or something.
Or both. All of them.
Or all of them or all of the above.
Or all of them.
But it is such a good show. It is so funny. And I've kind of, like, and no one, it's not very common. It's not very heard of. Like, I don't hear, like, in the discussion, it's always, like, Parks and Rec versus Office. But I think this Community is also in the
Okay, mix. So I can't say too much about Community because I haven't seen it yet. But you were telling me about it previously, and it's on my list, you know.
Good.
But back to The Office and, like, its humor, like, that show is not for everyone. And I will, like, say that with my whole chest, because I remember when I first started watching the show, it was when, like, no one was really into, and a lot of people are into it still, but, like, it's not as popular anymore. And so I watched it when it wasn't as popular, and I only watched, like, the first episode, and I only watched, like, 5 minutes of it, and I turned it off. I was like, nope, not for me.
And I was like, awful, though.
The first episode, I was just like, no, it's not for me. And then I was like, okay, let me rewatch it. Let me just try again. I finished the whole episode, and then next thing you know, I'm, like, on episode 5. I'm like, wait, where did the time go? Like, that's definitely my humor.
No, if you are going to start The Office, like, the first season's awful, but you have to watch it for the sole purpose of the teapot. Like, that is the only reason why you have to watch the first season, and then beyond it. And the last season, and we've talked about this just in shows in general, about like the length of shows in terms of like its run and seasons. And yeah. we talked about this a while ago, and we've come to the conclusion that Gossip Girl is the best show ever because
we're
of
just
how,
throw it out there.
Wait, I'm just throwing it out there because we came to this conclusion because when you have shows, when you pull out of like, and this is something that we've noticed as we've gone to the like more mature shows that aren't like Disney Channel or Nickelodeon.
Yeah, exactly.
When you transition into that, you have shows that sometimes run for 4 seasons, 5 seasons, some shows end at 6 seasons, like my favorite show, Gilmore Girls, is 6 seasons long. You have some shows that are 7, some that are 8, some that are 10, like The Office.
Some that are, wait, yeah.
How many is Office? No, Friends is 10, Office is 8, right?
Office?
Is it 8?
The Office, I think, is 8, yeah.
And then Friends is 10. And so when you look at that, we came to the conclusion that, like, on average, seasons, like, 3 to 5 of shows are, like, the best. And best. Because the first couple seasons, there's the writers and
they're
then
starting
the
writers, it off, they're getting their like, toes. What the audience likes and, yeah. like, what they appeal to.
And then you have 3, 4, and 5. That's when, like, you introduce all of the meaty, like, good stuff. And then it kind of just, like, just kind of goes down a little bit after mm-hmm. a while. It just drags on. And we came to the conclusion that Office Girl?
Office Girl, the new show. Go watch it.
Like,
on
Gossip
Netflix.
Girl is superior because if you've ever watched Gossip Girl, you
I
would
hope
know.
You guys that, have.
I hope you have. If you haven't, you yes. should. It's on Netflix. But there's 5 seasons. All of them are meaty and juicy. I thought they were like 7 seasons of the show because there's so many things that happen. And I'm like, wait, there isn't 7 seasons? Because they pack it in. And
everything.
Like, they do not mess around. Like, these people, they know what's up. They know what they're doing.
Every episode, there's something new. You're like, oh my god, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Like, how did that happen? Like, they always keep you intrigued throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
And then each new character that comes in is really good. Like,
yeah. And good in the sense that, you know, because, like, you have people like Ivy or Georgina, and they just they suck. Awful people. But they, like, the stories, they just, they're so juicy all the time. Like, every episode, you have, like, no minute of just, like, downtime of just like just fluff. There's no fluff in the show, and there probably is, but the way that they present it and the way that they use it, it's just like, wow. And there are parts of the season that I'm not a huge fan of. Like, I'm not a
Which
huge
parts?
Fan of, like, Jenny trying to become Queen Bee. Like, I just I didn't like that.
With that whole thing, it was, I feel like the writers, like, okay, like, she's in like Brooklyn and like, you know, so like an outsider like Dan. And so I guess they were trying to make it more, like, interesting by, like, her trying to, like, be, like, on top of, like, the pyramid. Like, getting, like, what is it called? Like, blend in with everyone.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
And
I liked it.
I mean,
I didn't. She annoyed me, but
yeah,
I liked
it. I agree. I mean, it was just, like, one of those things, like, in the show where it's, like, when I know. Oh, it's frozen. Oh, there we go. Okay, when I know that part of the show is coming up, because I've seen Gossip Girl a few times, when I know that show is coming up, it's just, or that part of the show is coming up, I'm just like, so I'll do something else. But it's not like it's bad, it's just not like, for me, like, stylistic, it's just not my kind of vibe. But I will say, and I think they did this really well, is just as time went on, as these actors kind of grew and matured, their characters grew and matured, in the sense where they, like, even though they were awful to each other, they, like, Chuck Bass's glow up, 10 out of 10. Like, I feel like, and I'm sorry, like, I have a fat, like, girl crush on Blake Lively. I think she is
Blake Lively's the best. Oh, my God, I love her.
Stunning. And just her fashion in the show, and, like, as the show goes on, her wardrobe just gets better and better. Same with Blair's. Like, they just
I love when they, like, had Blair and Serena, like, on the same, like, scene, and, like, they try to coordinate their outfits. Like, I really like that. I don't know why, like, I started paying attention to that.
But they, no, like, and I think that's something, like, you and I have always had an eye for fashion. Like, remember when we were younger, and we would design
have our fashion show?
But we'll have a whole episode of us talking about weird things we did when we were younger.
Oh, my God, for sure, we have to.
But I think fashion is make or breaks kind of a character for me, and fashion is such a huge part of television and in movies and stuff. And you have Serena and Blair; they're both from very rich, privileged, upper class lifestyles, and they both have exquisite clothing, but they're so different.
That's
like,
what
I don't know.
It's so different. Like, Blair is more classy and elegant.
She's more. But she's also a little bit more out there. Like, she wears brighter colors. Blair, yeah. Like, she's the kind of person that will wear purples and pinks and these more vibrant colors. Where, and, like, but they'll still be in, like, a suit of some sort or a dress, but then Serena's okay. A little bit more muted.
That's so weird you say that, because I see it, like, the opposite. I see Blair.
Really?
Yes, I see Blair wearing more, like, not nude colors, but, like, not as vibrant colors. But with Serena, I see her more, like, wearing, like, yellow. She's always wearing yellow.
Oh, she looks so good in yellow.
She looks so good. That's why they put her in yellow. But, like, I see it with more vibrant colors. So, that's so funny that you said that, because I think the total opposite.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know. But I think, like, I don't know, just from, like, I don't remember a lot of the clothes off the top of my head, but, like, I just, like, I think I've seen Blair in, like, hot, like, she not hot pinks, but she wears, like, pinks and purples and greens and patterns, and she's a little bit more, like, couture when it comes to her clothing.
When I think, with you saying, like, the bright colors, I think of, I forget which season it was, but when she, like, goes to Paris with Serena. Yeah. That's yeah. When I seen her wearing the bright, like, vibrant colors. Yeah.
Well, but, like, Serena, for me, though, she's more consistently in muted colors. She's always in, like, a white or a beige. Or, like, she
okay,
does,
that's she, true. She's always in beige.
She's always in beige. She's always, like, mm-hmm. Or she's, like, the way, like, you would think, like, Serena is so different in terms of, like, the her other friends. Like, she wears jeans. Like, I would
yeah, none of the...
Yeah. To see Blair in jeans. Like, if
wait,
Blair
but remember was- that one? There was, I think, like, when she was trying to run away with Dan, I think she was wearing jeans. Like, when she was, like, oh, running away from her wedding. I think, don't quote me on it, but I think she was.
Oh, no, because she took that girl's outfit at the airport.
Yeah, that one time. Yeah.
That one time. So, then, let's expand what I was saying. In her own wardrobe, Blair Waldorf does not own a pair of jeans.
She does
she
not.
She stole,
oh, yeah, she did.
Because she got them from a girl. She's like, cool, yeah. Yeah. So she didn't have to run around in her gown.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, no, wait. Let's talk about ships, though. Like, okay. Who's your favorite, like, pair?
Okay. So, I do not like Dan and Serena. And I know you're asking this. You know. People are going to be like, all right, we're done listening to this podcast. I love Dan and Serena.
I think they are so cute together. No, from the very beginning. When I first watched the show, I was like, they better end up together. Like, they belong together. Like, they always came back to each other.
No.
They always did.
See, and I know they did, and that bugs me, because, like, I think they were good for each other in the sense that she kind of brought Dan into the friend group, and they kind of just, like, used Serena as, like, the scapegoat to, like, keeping Dan there. Mm. But, like, Nate and Serena, the chemistry.
Like, okay, that's true. The chemistry was there, for sure.
Like, when they were together, when they had that short spell of dating, it was just like, oh, my God. You have two unbelievably hot people, like, in this couple. It's like, how, like, oh, my gosh.
No, okay. So, when that happened, I was like, oh, my God. But Dan and Serena, I was, like, going back and forth. But Nate and Serena... That is a powerful couple, and I will admit that, I will, but at the end of the day, I am always going to be on Dan's side. And remember that one part where they were, she had to choose between Nate and Dan, and then, like, they ended up not even choosing her, like, she was, like, by herself.
I was like,
okay, so who is she really going to pick? And then it was Dan, obviously.
Yeah. I think, though, like, I don't know, like, with me, like, for, like, Nate and Serena, like, and I know, like, there was, like, a large part of, like, the commentary of the show, I guess, is, like, bringing, like, two worlds together in, like, a Romeo-Juliet kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, Dan and Serena. But I feel like Nate and Serena, just in terms of, like, what they've dealt with, because they're both, like, they're in, like, the teeter-totter, where, like, they are part of this, like, unbelievably rich, like, high-class, like, social, like, sphere.
Yeah.
But they're both just, like... And I think they both, like, they cannot live without, like, they could never live like Dan's family would. They could never be a middle class, like, group of people.
Yeah.
But I think they tone down the absolute richness of the Waldorfs and what Chuck has and what, like, even, like, Serena's mother, like, would have. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of, like, they're not fully a part of that world either. Like, they are because of their friend group, but they're not, like, because Serena... Homegirl wears jeans, and, like, and she's been a little bit more.
But then again, I feel like her wearing jeans and like her fashion statement she makes is to kind of say that she's not like the other like rich people. That makes any sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's like she's not like your normal rich person in the show. Yeah. And how they depicted. Same with Nate, because Nate has his own struggles. He does. And I think it's also, there's a little bit more, and I'm not saying that these characters are demoraled, but he has a very high, like, he has a moral compass where he knew, like, what his dad was doing was wrong. He never understood why, like, his mom was, like, so, like, willing to, like, hide everything that his dad was doing. And I think, and that's something that, like, you know, in the show, that isn't normal. Like, they lie and cheat their way around things. They pay off.
They did.
And so, of course, I'm not saying Nate is, like, this, like, heavenly, like, oh, he has this perfect moral compass. But I will say that just as a character, Nate and Serena, they both have, like, they're aware of what their money means. And they're aware of what it does to the person. And they're not your normal rich person as depicted in the show.
But I think, like, at the end of the day, like, them being so similar, like, they're better off as friends.
And I do think they're great friends.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, as friends, like, when you watch the whole show, like, in the entirety of it all, like, you see, like, how much, like, of, like, how close they are together, and you're like, okay, like, they're really good as friends. Like, yes, they were a powerful couple.
Yeah.
And, like, the chemistry was there. As friends, though, like, they were even more powerful, you know?
And they were able, and I do admire their relationship in the sense that they were able to teeter back and forth between, like, we're friends, or we're dating, and then now we're good friends, and their friendship really never changed, and I admire that, and I also think that is because of where they stand in terms of, like, the richness spectrum. They both understand each other, and I think that they're an incredible group of friends, and then they're a good duo in terms of friends, because they understand each other, and they're there for each other through everything, and I think important, and they understand each other, and I think also it kind of helped that they were friends before any of their romance.
Yeah, they were.
When Nate cheated on Blair at the wedding or something in the bar when they were both wasted or whatever.
Oh, like, yeah, in the beginning.
They were friends before that happened, and then they've always been friends, and I think that's a fundamental to a relationship, is your friendship comes first, and it's
very
always
true.
And so their friendship was just always there, and they happened to just have an unbelievably, you know, physical, like, unbelievable physical chemistry as well when they were together. So they go both ways, but I love them together, and I wish
as a couple.
Yeah, because it's also weird me out. Even though Lily and Rufus never end up actually, like, hitting Endgame, it weird.
I know what you're gonna say.
Like. It's like, I understand, like, you're no longer step siblings because they're no longer together, but it's like, your dad and your mom were married.
Yeah.
You and your stepbrother at some point in time had been in certain relations before, of course, you became step siblings, and then after you were step, like, I just.
Yeah. Okay, I will admit, that was weird. That was one thing I was like, I feel like they probably, like, obviously I love the show, it's the best show, but I feel like they did kind of, like, drag out the Lily and Rufus thing, like, way too long. Like,
did it could have married Bart, or not Bart, Chuck's uncle.
Wait, I don't think she married him.
I thought they got together, because in the very ending scene, are you still watching the show?
Oh, am I rewatching it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to the finale, watch closely when they're, like, going through the wedding scenes, because you have like, Blair's mom there with, I think she's there with Cyrus, and then you have Rufus and Lily are there, but they kiss on the cheek, and then Rufus goes to some lady, and then Lily is, like, sitting on, like, oh, Jack. Lily's, like, sitting on, like, Jack's lap or something.
Really?
Yes!
What the heck? Why don't I remember that? It's the, like, last episode, or, like, towards the end?
I never noticed it until, like, I watched it this last time. When I watched it earlier in quarantine. But when I watched it, I was sitting there, and I'm like, what?
Okay, that's weird.
Like, watch closely. Like, watch it. I don't know if I was hallucinating, but, like, they have, like, this, like, montage. Like, after Serena and Dan get married, they have,
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and they have, like, they pan over. like, when you watch it, like, get there. And
they're sitting on the couch, right?
Yeah, they're sitting on the couch, and they, like, pan over everyone, because because Rufus and Lily, like, they greet each other, kiss on the cheeks or whatever, and then, like, when they do, like, that pan of, like, everyone sitting in that living room, she's sitting on his lap, and I'm like, oh, no, 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 it was William. Shoot, I was wrong. Sorry, I lied. It was Serena's dad. I apologize. It was Serena's dad. I think. It was one of the two.
Wait, no, that's Serena's dad. You're talking about, yeah, Serena's dad. I forget his name, though.
William?
So he was there? William. Wait, he was there?
Yeah, I think they got together. I think they did. Like, watch
Why did she get with him when he, what?
I don't know, watch. Like, I don't know.
I hope that's not true, because
I might have been hallucinating.
The way William treated Lily was so messed up.
I know.
It was like he like made her think she was sick or something. I was like, what?
I don't know.
Weird.
I don't know. That whole show is full of toxic relationships.
Yeah, for sure. But it's definitely something to watch. So if you guys haven't seen it, please watch it. Like, you won't regret it.
It really is. Did you want to dive into movies?
Did I? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, because we definitely, I think this is some important information to preface. Nevaeh is a huge movie junkie, and she's going to school to be a film major, so she has a lot more movie-based things under her belt, but we both love talking about these kind of things, and I think, you said your favorite movie is Back to the Future. I'll share what my favorite movie is. And this is where you can see the difference in our genres and stuff. I'm a sucker for oldies and classics and those kind of things and rom-coms. My favorite
movie. Wait, can I guess it?
Oh, I just said it.
Wait, I didn't even hear you, so that doesn't count.
Oh, okay. Okay, then what is my, what's my favorite movie, Nev?
Because I feel like you gush about it a lot. La La Land?
No, I do like La La Land, though.
Okay, what movie? I give up.
In the Rain.
Oh, singing! Oh my God, that is your favorite
movie.
The
1952 classic starring Debbie Reynolds, Donald O'Connor, and Gene Kelly, one of the greatest American movies ever made.
My question is, why is it your favorite?
So, there's a few reasons. It's a very nostalgic movie for me. When we first watched it, my papa got my mom for her birthday one year. We were up in their cabin in Groveland. And he got for her her birthday or something. We were like, it was stormy, so we watched the movie, and it was for her birthday, and we watched it, and I loved it. It's one of my papa's favorite movies. My papa introduced me to all those classics, you would call the MGM classics. So it'd be like American in Paris, Showboat, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Singing in the Rain, where they kind of just used the same actors and actresses, like, in this time. It was in the late 40s into the early 50s. Mid to late 40s into the early 50s. And I really just fell in love with the classics, and I'm obsessed with the music and the songs, and Gene Kelly is one of the best dancers, I think, ever, next to Fred Astaire. And the artisticness and the value that this movie had. It came out in 1952, which doesn't mean a lot to most people, but in terms of when the movie came out, it was at the time where there was a lot of transition from going to what was predominantly a musically dominated, you know, group into now being more just standard talking films, which is interesting, because the movie also dives into the transition into the 30s of going from your silent films and your talking pictures. And so there was a parallel with going from silent to talkie to musical to talkie. So there was still this great commentary, and even though musicals were dying in the early 50s, this still became one of the highest grossing movies ever, and it is
there are a lot of people still watch it today,
and a lot of people still watch it. It is still named one of the best movies ever, which I can attest to by my very non-biased opinion. But it's incredible, and when you look into, like, you know, the production quality and what they did to, and, like, Nevaeh can talk about these things in a broader sense, but when it comes to Singing in the Rain, I can tell you, you know, they shot this, they did this, they were doing this commentary, Debbie Reynolds had no dance talent, Gene Kelly had to train her, Gene Kelly was filming American in Paris at the exact same time.
The passion is coming alive.
The passion is real. No, and I know all this information too, because for my, I think, sophomore drama class, I had to write an essay about like some technological thing in the film.
About the movie or just about the film in general?
Yeah, so.
Okay, like, I bet that was fun.
Here's a tech note for you. In the iconic Singing in the Rain scene in Singing in the Rain, where Gene Kelly is singing in the rain, he's wearing a fully cotton suit with a 103 degree fever, dancing and singing in the rain. And
oh
also,
my God. I didn't
know this, but they put milk in the water so it shows through on camera. I didn't know that. And homie's drenched in milk water.
I did not know that either. But, what the heck?
Yeah, he had this crazy fever and he still shot it. And just the film is beautiful. And if you can get your hands on it, watch it, appreciate it. I've always loved musicals. And this
for
one
me,
is incredible.
For me, musical movies aren't, or like musicals aren't really like for me. But like, yeah. You know, like it's not a classic, but like in a part of my childhood, like High School Musical, that whole like. Yeah, I love High School Musical. Like, I like that musical. And Lemonade Mouth, that was, like, with music, too.
Yeah.
So, like, I haven't really watched any of the classic, like, old, like, musicals. But I definitely want to, like, dive into that. And it's so funny because you haven't seen my favorite movie. I haven't seen your favorite movie. So, one day we need to just, like, sit. Yeah, and we need to watch each other's favorite movies because we have to.
Since we're both home for college, we should do that if we can, if it's safe. We should do that.
I am for sure.
No, but I do think there's something about, like, and I think, I mean, I grew up in musical theater. Like, I've gone to the theater for years, mm-hmm. and I've seen so many shows and stuff. And so musicals are just kind of, like, a natural, like, thing that I enjoy. And cinematic musicals, they're either really good or really bad. So
yes.
In the sense of, like, you know, cinematic musicals being like Singing in the Rain, La La Land. La La Land had the same issue that Singing in the Rain did, where you don't see a lot of, you know, cinematic musicals, and they're never good. And so when La La Land came out, that was such a breath of fresh air, because it was just like, this is such a good musical. Like, this is one that would compare or be in the same, like, I guess, status or in the same group as you would put Singing in the Rain in. I'm not saying that it is as good as Singing in the Rain is, because I don't think it is. I do think it is an incredibly well-done musical that,
and I
think the way that they handle it too, though, is it's like, instead of just like randomly singing, which a lot of musicals, like when you're going into Broadway musicals, a lot of them randomly start singing.
Yeah, that's why it wasn't really like up my alley, because I was like, wait, what? Like, why are we singing right now? What's happening?
Yeah. But I feel like with like, musicals like La La Land or Singing in the Rain, the songs mm-hmm. also tell a story. It's not, because what some shows or some like cinematic musicals come at fault to is they're telling you like, oh, I am so conflicted, I'm not doing well, and then they'll start singing a song about that conflict, where instead the story is being told through the musical.
Through the music.
You have your story and then you put a song into it, and I think that's the issue with a lot of what is being adopted in the musicals. And that's why I love like musicals created by Lin-Manuel Miranda, specifically like Hamilton and In the Heights, which are live shows. But with Hamilton specifically, the entire show is music. Like they don't talk. I think they maybe say like 15 words.
Wait, which one?
Hamilton.
Oh my God. Everyone always talks about it. Like I haven't got into it, but like everyone knows like the whole soundtrack or whatnot.
It's really good. I talked about it a while ago on this podcast, but with Hamilton, so I was told, like, oh, listen to the Hamilton soundtrack, it's so good, before I had even seen it. And so I'm listening to it, and I'm like, what? This isn't that good. Like, it's not worth the hype. And, like, I do think it is still very overrated, but I will also say that it is a phenomenal show. It was really funny because I went and saw it in San Francisco over a year ago, because they were doing it there, and my piano teacher like won raffle tickets, and I was out at lunch with someone, and I was telling them like, I will never go see Hamilton ever. Like, it's so overrated. I don't want to be disappointed. I kid you not, I get a call 5 minutes later from my dad. Your piano teacher just called us and said that they her and her daughter won the raffle for the Hamilton tickets, so we get to go sit in mezzanine for $10 each at these at the show.
What are the odds of that?
And so it was just like, it was like the 2 p.m. show or whatever, the 1 p.m. show. We come into San Francisco, we meet them, and we sit mezzanine seats, which is incredible. Like, it's so cool. You're watching the show, cried the whole time, and watching it is like, okay, I understand why people love this, because it is such a good show.
So I guess seeing it in person kind of changed your perspective.
It does. Or even watching the, because Disney Plus now has it with the original cast. Oh, my God. Just watching the original cast, because I thought the version that I saw was good. Like, I thought the Skylar sisters in the show that I saw were phenomenal. The guy who played Jefferson in Lafayette, I thought was incredible. And then you see, like, David Diggs playing Jefferson in Lafayette, and you're like, I love this man. And you see Anthony Ramos, who's doing Philippe, and the other guy in the first act. I apologize to my hardcore Hamilton fans for not knowing all their names. But, no, just the original cast is phenomenal. And then Lin-Manuel Miranda, I think, is a genius.
I mean, they do say that the originals are always better.
That is so true. But, like, and when you look at even, like, musicals that he's done, like, In the Heights, like, which is my favorite Broadway show, like, even with that, they just, their characters are so rich. And again, they sing the entire time and maybe say, like, a sentence or two in total of actual talking. But, no, I think those are how they do it right. But then when you introduce certain things to cinema, maybe I even think, like, Lemonade Mouth is different because all of the songs they were...